Doctrine of Peace. We're dealing with the dynamic of inner peace. This will only be yours if you take seriously some of these verses, or all these verses, but take seriously these verses. God did not design us to be strung out under fear, anxiety, worry. We are to cast our cares on the Lord. That is through prayer, as often as you need to, and relax. Go for the ride. The only extent to which you can minimize your sufferings is don't be stupid. But even if you're stupid and come under divine discipline, you can acclimate to that too. Just keep moving on with the doctrine in your soul. God will not put on you something you can't handle. Now that just applies to believers who are positive and are connected to the truth. He's sensitive to that. Those that are running amok, negative, they're on their own. They're continually out of His will. So rebound gets you in the will of God. And for the minute, as long as that lasts, Romans 8:6. Okay, imagine trying to explain this one to someone. For the mind, thought pattern, thinking, set on the flesh is death. Temporal death, you're out of fellowship. Preoccupied with the following the dictates of the sin nature, which you cannot get rid of your sin nature, you have to live with it. That's part of the struggle. That's part of the fight we're in. The internal enemy. That has nothing to do with Satan directly. It has to do with you have a sin nature. And it continues to try to assert its agenda in Bible class, in wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. The STA wants to rule. And when your mind is set on that and the sins associated therewith, then you're in temporal death. You're neutralized spiritually. So see Doctrine of Death for all the different ones. But the mind set on the Spirit, and that is sensitivity to the fact that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, your desire to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and function and whatever you're doing legitimately, you should be able to do that in fellowship. That's where the rewards come for the afterlife. That's where the blessings come for time, and is life. Life is over against death. The Christian way of life is to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be in fellowship, all the ways we express it. The command to be filled with the Spirit isn't some bunch of people jumping around and acting up. That's fake spirituality. Being filled with the Spirit is the consequence of not being ruled by your sin nature. You're automatically filled with the Spirit. And you could be sitting down and taking it easy, or involved in whatever activities that are a part of your normal life that you are engaged in. Be in fellowship. Constantly be rebounding, because it's so easy to let something affect your mental attitude and put you out of fellowship. The world today apparently wants us all stirred up all the time. I'm refusing it. I don't want to be like those people. I'm not worrying about a virus or all the other stuff that's going on. God is my security, safety, health, all of it. So I don't run around with this. I think the whole thing's been overhyped. I really do. And now it's beginning to die down and losing its charm. So we're going to have to turn to something else. Let's start rioting. Well, that's a good way to bring harmony. Let's just start rioting in the streets, tearing stuff up. That too, a lot of it, not all of it, is being orchestrated. financed and orchestrated. This is a part of our last run to the end. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it all works out so that when the rapture hits the world and the United States and millions of us suddenly disappear, and then let them deal with that, because Americans are going to have the freedom after that. It won't be easy for people to get out of here, to go back to their home country. Now you can't just travel willy-nilly. There's all these restrictions and everything. God's going to break all this down. He got the Jews out of Egypt. And it was a hopeless situation, humanly speaking. But he fixed it so they could walk out unscathed. So he's going to provide for that and set that all up. So all the things that happen, it's just going to be interesting to sit back and watch this. Personally, and for me, and for my church, my deal is live under the radar. Lead a quiet life pursuing godliness. Do what we've been doing for all these years. Stick with it. Stay in there. And individually, we will have some challenges. We'll have to suffer. I don't know what they'll be. Well, don't worry about them. And concern yourself with that mess. That's what the world does. They worry about tomorrow all the time. What's going on? It is stimulated by believing Bible doctrine. Keep God's promises in front of you. He has these promises. Call His attention to them. You're out of work? You need income? Call God's attention to it. I need income. I need a job. If it got shut down, that's all you got to do. Just keep praying about it. So I can pay my bills and do what I have to do and support the local church and all the different things we can do. Ask yourself the question, how can I support my local church? Some of you, you don't have to ask it because you just know automatically what you've been doing around here on this property. So it looks like it does. So we can pay our bills. And I don't have to ever get up here and beg anybody for money, and I will never do that. That's between you and the Lord. I remind you of your obligation. And maybe you don't have much. Much isn't an issue with God. It's the spirit in which it is done. And for all of you who have faithfully, in various ways, made it possible for us to come through all we've come through, and as far as I can tell, I look around, everything's in place. Everything we need. Place is taken care of. Something breaks, we fix it. We want to add something, we add it. If we deem as leaders that something needs to be added. The property looks great. It really does. I have people compliment around the neighborhood. And the beautiful thing about it is, we don't just pay outsiders to do all this. We do very little of that. We do it ourselves. Volunteer help takes care of it. And you don't have to beg people to try to get out here and do something. We get it done. I'm so pleased with that. It's a blessing. My home is taken care of, where I live. Anything, it gets fixed like that. And people have stepped up where others have fallen by the wayside. They've stepped up. They do it with the right spirit, I presume. Have good attitudes. I like that. I see the love. I see the support. It is not lost on me. And I also see that people in this church, because of all the changes with regard to who and what, I see them starting, I see little things that gives me some hope. Look who's out there talking and seeing and having fellowship. Spontaneous. On the property. Talking to each other. You lose some friends along the way. You lose people along the way that go down. God will give you replacement relationships within the social fabric of a local church. Pray about it. And just keep soldiering on. And don't let this affect you about, you know, well, all my friends are gone. Somebody back in the day, all my friends are leaving. So, all your friends left. There's sorrow in that. I understand that. Why are you leaving? Because they left? And that's the thing. And say it to somebody, well, I'm not good enough to be your friend. I'm your friend. I'm here for you. Yes, we lose people. Attrition occurs. In the angelic conflict, attrition occurs. In the history of any local church, read your New Testament. Read about all the fallen away who left sound doctrine for what? Don't let it be you. I don't know how many people in my history have said, I'm going to be proud to stand with you at the Bema seat. Well, they're not in here now. And it's not because they're in heaven. Talk is cheap. You've got to realize that there's so many different things out there that would try to snag you and pull you down. So be on your guard. Keep your armor on. Keep alert. If it doesn't sound right, it's probably because it isn't right. You know? And don't let anybody drive a wedge between you and your pastor teacher. That ought to be just off the limits completely. I told you in my own history, that was happening. That tried to happen to me early on when I got hooked up with sound doctrine. And basically my deal was, you can go straight to hell. I didn't say that. You get so far out of my face, it isn't funny. What do you got to offer? Nothing but complaining. Or he did this or that. I'm coming there for the truth. And it's a pile of gold. I'm going to get the gold. If he's got his problems, I'm not in that mix. I'm just a listener, and I morally support this. And if I suffer some injustice by the system I was in, I had to absorb it. I absorbed it. I didn't carry it around with a chip on my shoulder. I was there for the truth, and that overrode all of any kind of negativity I had in that environment. And I had some. I suffered some injustice as a Christian. But I was appreciative of the doctrine, and I wasn't gonna go down that road. That's between that person and God. I'm here for the truth. And for the fellowship, secondary. That's nice. The fellowship. Yes, we're in this, and this is a warfare. It always is the angelic conflict. The devil's at work. The forces of evil are being allowed to run full throttle to try to deceive us, scare us, drag us into stuff. We're just going to try to do what we do here with whoever comes of their own free will and sits down and decides to listen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace to the Roman Christians who had their own niche in the big old bad city of Rome in believing, so that you'll abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope, that is our phase 3 hope. That's our final destiny, our final destination, that we are to abound in this. I think about it all the time. I try to think about the details of, you know, the afterlife and the various stages of it, from the rapture, well, death if you die before the rapture, but what it will be like to just actually be in heaven and see the throne room and the environment and be there, of course, in a resurrection body and be a part of the celebration related to the opening of the seven seals, and then come back with Christ to this earth. All of it. It's mind-boggling. Sometimes I just, you really believe this, Jack? Yeah, I do. This is mind-boggling. And what God has for us in the life to come, this life's temporal, that life's eternal. Our new body will be eternal. You'll be 35 years old forever. You will have no problems. And you'll have your rewards. And what do they consist in? I cannot even tell you. But they're real. And we'll be talking about it. And none of these dummies, like Christians, who have died without the truth in their soul and adjusted, they're not going to be bragging about what they accomplished down here. That won't even be a topic of discussion. Because it means nothing. It means nothing. All this gain, all this advancement at the expense of getting the high reward, the ultimate reward, the prize. I'm still trying to win Christ. And I'll try to do that till the day I'm out of here. That I might win Christ, I'm willing to sacrifice everything. I don't give things up just for the heck of it. That's fake. But if I have to, I'll give up anything that I can win Christ. That's another synonym for the crown. I'm willing to suffer the loss of all things that I might win Christ. That's what Paul said. It came down to the end. They took his life, and about everybody around him pretty much had abandoned him for various reasons. Fear. But the Lord stood with me. It's the same old thing. He stood by me. He got me through it. So the more truth you have, the more inner peace you have, the more you understand the Word of God and the plan of God, the greater is your peace. If you're new to this, then be patient. We all had to start somewhere. It's better to start late than not start at all. And get on track. Plenty of people around here, and there's those that can encourage and help you with spiritual questions you might have. Psalm 119, 165. That's right. Those who love your law have great peace. The law was the marching orders for the Jews in the age of Israel. Those who love the content of the Mosaic covenant, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Whatever's thrown in front of them, they just keep rolling on. That's what he in this psalm. It is taught in the Old Testament, Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. So anyway, it is the product of adjusting to divine discipline. Taking your DD and learning from it and making improvements where you got yourself in trouble maybe with God, with divine discipline. That's the basic doctrine and understanding that we are God's children through faith in Christ, and as God's children, we step out of line like children are given to do, and they need a corrective. They need a parent to properly step in and make a correction. Okay, regarding divine discipline, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. You don't run around and say, goody, goody, I'm under divine discipline. Isn't this great? Let me share this with you. Although, there is a verse that says, if you're under divine discipline, you're blessed. You know, ways to be blessed, well, that one we usually don't think of, but now we know that you're being blessed because you're being helped by God to make a correction. Don't feel bad because you're under divine discipline in the sense that, oh, this is nothing good is coming from this. Don't ever feel like that. And don't overreact to it. Like God's disowning you and has given up on you. He has not. It's simply divine discipline for some infraction. And it could be something minor, like a bump on the head. You know, I mean, something minor, or some detail of life gets messed up because you're proud about it. So it gets damaged. That's in the law too. Ways God disciplines people for pride. Also, I give you another way to, and don't run around and misuse this. If you do, you do. What can I do? When you step out of line, confess it quick. Don't carry this all day long. Confess it quick. When it's fresh. Some sin of the flesh. You committed it. You name it. Boom. Right when you finished up on it. And that will mitigate, if not eliminate, the discipline with it. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What's that supposed to mean? Of course, it's in the context of the Lord's table. That's a big point where you need to be in fellowship. But it applies, generally speaking, all the time. Now, if you want to abuse this and say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and sin and rebound real quick. Not that any of us have never done that one. Just be honest. The point is, it still works that way. Oh, I'm going to engage in gossip and then I'll rebound and move on. Because gossip's fun. Okay. Let me get this just a second. Okay. This whole thing is a section on divine discipline. These believers would step out of line in areas. They were flagging spiritually. They were under chronic, we've been on all this testing for all these years, and they were suffering economic stress, persecution, and they weren't doing like they did in the beginning, where they were really stepping up to the plate and performing. They were kind of going through, a lot of them going through the motions, and they were soul fainting. They were letting things get to them. And these Christians had two letters in the New Testament written to them. This one in James. Going back as a review here of this, he said, yes, you've suffered. Have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as my sons? Verse 5, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Let's take it up to an extreme level of extreme discipline. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Heavy duty divine discipline. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now we know there's a lot of children out there that their parents don't discipline them. They just let them run amok. But what the idea is, what reputable father just overlooks their kids acting up? You don't want that kid to continue to perpetuate that attitude. You want to try to checkmate it by injecting in their lives what is appropriate that they don't like. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So, I was talking to someone else. I said, yeah, something happened to me back in the day. I knew instantly what it was for. I knew instantly. I didn't entertain it as undeserved suffering for a second. I knew exactly what it was. So I just rolled on with it. Because that's what happened. The wound would heal, and I'd move down the road. I knew what it was. And then, of course, facing death or a death test is associated with dying grace. When you know you're dying, and it's the end, you can have great peace. There's a lot of verses in the Bible relative to that, but I'm not going to look all these up. I'm kind of lazy right now. Let me see. All right. I got this one right. I hope I do. I thought I looked, rechecked it. God talking to Abraham. Now, this is well before he died, obviously. But he's talking about the future of his people from the standpoint of where Abraham was in this particular context. And the future of his people was they descent into Egypt. That they weren't going to, the Hebrews were not going to stay in the land and inherit it, that there's going to be this history where they're out of the land and in Egypt, in a holding pattern, if you will. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. Whenever you see that, it's referring to a believer going into the afterlife. You'll go to your fathers in peace, your ancestors. And Abraham had ancestors up the line that were believers. And you're going to be rejoined up with them. And you're going to go to them in peace. That's where Old Testament saints descended into paradise in the center of the earth. Down prior to that being evacuated. Now people go straight to heaven. You will be buried in a good old age. So Abraham knew right then he died at age 175. A good old age. And this is before the birth of Isaac and all this. Good old age. You will be buried at a good old age. And in the fourth generation, they will return here. For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. I can't judge these Amorites up here and these Canaanites. I can't judge them now because they haven't reached that level of deserving to be evicted from their homeland. The Canaanites migrated from the Ark and they wound up in Palestine, as they like to call it today. The land of Israel. Okay, it's often associated with happiness. All right, that's all I'm going to do. The inner peace factor is something we have to work on because we're so subject to getting stirred up about stuff. We really are. I don't like it either, but that doesn't mean I'm going to give up. There are times when I can honestly say, I'm relaxed about this. I've got the scripture. I got my history. I've seen how God's brought me through all kinds of stuff. Why would he treat me any different today? I'm not perfect. If he needs to get my attention, he will. So faith rest, relaxed mental attitude, gives you capacity for life. You can go through whatever crisis the cosmos throws at us. And the angelic conflict, and you roll right on through it. He is not going to forsake you. He's going to take care of you and your family. You just stay right with God, and all these things you need will be taken care of. Try to minimize running under your sin nature. All right, we'll end our service as follows. Their heads bowed. If you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, we want you to know that the way of salvation, the great way of salvation, is so simple. It's not based on your goodness. It never could be. It's based on who and what Christ is. You believe in Him. Here, later, you have eternal life. And nobody can take that away from you. The Scripture is clear. This is where we take our stand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He died for you, so you could have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of studying these matters. May they bear fruit in us, in Christ's name. Amen.